Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk Podcast with Patrick Sharp and Charlie Romeliotis. I am Pat Boyle. Coming up on this edition, the Blackhawks coming off their best defensive effort of the season. We'll recap the 2-1 shootout loss to Vegas. We'll take a look at Eric Gustafson's start to the campaign. What does the loss of Connor Murphy mean? Who's going to have to step up and fill his skates? Plus, what's next for Kirby Doc? He gets his first NHL marker. Is he getting enough ice time? Robin Leonard flexing his muscles in the net. And what's the guy's top priority over the next few days for this Blackhawks team? It's all coming up on the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
All right, boys, let's get into it. Patrick, I would have to say that was, I think, probably the Hawks' best defensive effort of the season against Vegas, even though, you know, that they didn't come out with the full 2 points.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I thought the first time we saw the Hawks get to that level was when Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl were in town against the Oilers. I thought that was a strong effort. Colleton was pleased with the effort against the Washington Capitals the other night, but tonight from start to finish, I really liked what I saw from really top to bottom when you look at the squad, and it was a different kind of game. 1-1 score, 1-0 for most of the game. It was hard plays defensively. It was back-checking. It was five guys in the zone at all times. This Jeremy Colleton team for the last, 60, 70 games has looked like it's been that high-flying team that wants to win the game 6-5, and I think the recipe for success going forward can be taken from this game. What do you think, Charlie?
There were a lot of there were a lot of scoring chances, but there weren't a lot of high danger chances. There were three and three at 5-on-5 on each side. The PK was perfect, 5-for-5 tonight, so that's a positive. It took 65 minutes to get an extra point, and the Hawks didn't.
Your beard is fantastic, by the way. People are confusing us as the same, recognizing
us. I don't know if it's
the
beard that they're confusing.
Well,
I think it's the beard. I think it's the beer that they're consuming. Charlie's a handsome dude.
I woke up
you guys look like brothers or anything, but
hey, I'll take the compliment.
Camera guy Fogel said I got mistaken for Patrick Sharp, so we are 2-for-2. The last two home games.
Nothing wrong with that.
I told you the other day, I texted you, it's the biggest compliment of my career.
All right.
It is.
And now he wants to borrow one of your Stanley Cup rings so he can go around.
We should do that.
You brought up the fact that they were perfect on the penalty kill. Hawks power play, it would have been nice to see them cash in. They didn't cash in the other night with five power play opportunities and against Washington. They got better as the game went on the man advantage. First couple were a little dicey, some problems with the entries.
Yeah, they did. And they made an adjustment. Alex Nylander got promoted for Dylan Strome. And Sharpie, you could probably speak more to this, but it was more about the right-handed shot. And Jeremy Colleton said he wanted to not disrupt DeBrincat's lane, and I'm not sure how much that played a factor. And I thought it was fine, but at the same time, I would like for that first unit to just stick together for the whole 2 minutes. And like you said, I can't remember which one it was, but there was one really solid power play where the first unit was out there for like 90 seconds, and the second unit was actually pretty good on the other one. So I thought it was decent that DeBrincat missed another wide-open chance again because he doesn't get much of it on his stick. So unfortunate there, but I thought they were okay for the most part.
Even though that puck from DeBrincat was fluttering and it was just kind of floating towards net, it was still a shot on goal, and it would have found its way to the back. And then if it wasn't for a huge save by Marc-Andre Fleury, I think the power play struggled a bit today early on. It could have been from Nylander being promoted to the first unit and just kind of feeling each other out. I didn't think Eric Gustafson was particularly strong in tonight's game, and And I hate to say that because I really like Gus back there. And on the power play, he's been the key, in my opinion, from when Jeremy took over. Remember, we saw it run hot, maybe 40%. That's a huge number on the power play for about a month or two. Gus was the reason for that. So I think when his passing is down, when he's skating, when he's breaking the pucks out of the zone, it just gives everybody else that much more time and space. But it started to turn things up as the game went along. You would have liked to have seen production there, and that would have been the difference in the game.
Yeah, I think, Eric, so far this year, Gustafson, while he's looked fine on his in his role at the top of the umbrella on the power play, 5-on-5, I don't know if they're asking him to defend more, and that's not kind of working well with his skill set, but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that plays out, because this is a big year for him. And I know, you know, sometimes, you know, we talk about the psychological part of this game, and we'll get into that with Kirby Doc in a second. But when you're coming off a 60-point campaign, one of only eight defensemen that reached that milestone last year, and you're in a walk year, you know, sometimes that can you can bring extra pressure when you come to the rink.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, too, because when he's playing with Calvin DeHaan, who's one of their best defensive-minded defensemen, so it's they should be able to complement each other, and I think Calvin DeHaan has been really good as well. Gustafson just hasn't seen his production yet, and I think it will come, especially on the power play. Once I don't know how much confidence he has right now. I think it's still waning with you know, the early struggles that he had at the beginning of the season, where Jeremy moves him away from Duncan Keith on the third pairing really quickly. So I'm not sure how much that factored into Gustafson's confidence, but it's going to come around, but it needs to come around quicker or sooner than later.
Well, we might see it sooner than later. Murphy goes down with what we're hearing is a groin injury throughout the third period in this game. That's a tough one, a tough pill to swallow for the Blackhawks. Murph has done a nice job there playing alongside Duncan Keith on that top pair. You know, they haven't produced offensively. That's not an issue for the Blackhawks. They need to play valuable minutes, eating up those shifts against the other team's top players. They had been doing that, so maybe, who knows, Gus slides back into that pairing. It'll sort itself out tomorrow.
We were having a trouble listening to everything that came from Colleton. We had Jeff Corbett was having his own TV show going on.
While reality show.
Own reality show. It was interesting. Did they say cuckoo, or did he mention, you know?
Well, they made an in-game trade, but it was more of a minor league. Did you guys see it?
Breaking news.
Okay, they sent Alexi Sorella to Florida for Dale Talon's team, and they got a defenseman, a 24-year-old defenseman, Ian McCaution. I don't know if you've Jeremy basically said he didn't know much about him. He knew that it might be in the works, but he only has about 60 games in the NHL, and he's only has 7 points, so it's not, you know, I don't expect him to be the major emergency call-up, but I imagine Cuckoo is going to slide into that role, and then who your seventh defenseman is, I'm not sure. Maybe Dennis Gilbert you call back up?
That's interesting. Gilbert struggled. We saw certainly. He rebounded nicely.
Yeah,
he rebounded nicely
in the
Prague game.
It was our production team that buried him. We showed the goal, the turnover like 100
over
times.
And over and
he
over.
Wasn't that bad. He actually played pretty strong as the game went on. If he's got to step in and play some minutes here, I think Colleton will be happy with that.
All right, how about Kirby Doc? You know, Patrick, I want to ask you about, you know, you saw it with Patrick Kane, you know, a top pick in that instance, coming in after having great numbers at London. And there was some question whether or not that, you know, when Patrick was 18, whether he would stick with you guys. And by his own admission, you've said it before on the show, training camp wasn't like, it didn't blow you away. But, you know, he got going. He's not that first game, maybe, that you saw him in, regular season-wise?
For Kaner, yeah. He was in Minnesota. We opened the season. And I had been playing with Kaner throughout the preseason. I was a centerman back then. And he was a junior hockey player, and he was skating his junior hockey routes, and he was staying on the outside, and you saw the skill in practice. He couldn't shoot the puck. It was everybody, not just myself. I think we all felt that he was going to play his 9 games, kind of hang around the team, and then head back to junior hockey. And game one against Minnesota, he wanted the puck. He was calling for it. He was hanging on to it, making plays. I lost the game 1-0, so there was no points to be handed out, but picked up an assist in game two at home ice against the Wings, scored against Hasek in the shootout, and it was like he goes on to score 20, win the Rookie of the Year and every other award throughout the rest of his career. So you don't want to write guys off too early. That's a lesson I learned. But as far as Kirby Doc, I like what I'm seeing for him. There's going to be some lessons to be learned, no question about it. He played 8 minutes plus tonight. That's not a huge load for a forward, especially if you score a goal in the game. So there's some things that he's going to have to clean up, little details. That's all about being a pro, being an NHL hockey player. But the fact that he gets on the board and he's having fun being around the guys. I went for dinner with Kirby Doc at the convention. A bunch of us went out and gone out with a few of the guys over the years, the young prospects and draft picks, and they usually just sit there like flies on the wall and listen to Kane and Taves and Seabrook carry the conversation. But Kirby Doc was telling stories. He was one of the guys. He was cracking jokes, and that at 18 years old to be
that's impressive,
to
right?
be doing that at dinner. I mean, maybe it doesn't sound like a big deal to anybody listening, but I know I would just sit there and keep my mouth shut. And this is what we want from Kirby Doc. We want him to be a voice in the locker room, come in here, feel comfortable. So that's a huge positive sign for me.
Do you have a gut feeling on where this is going to go? Because, you know, I think part of I think if he was going to the AHL, it wouldn't be that big a deal. I think it's almost the fact that for him to go back to the WHL, the same teams that he's been on for a while. I know his brother's there, but I think they feel like it may stunt his growth, so to speak. Do you have a gut feeling on how this thing may play out for Kirby?
I don't really. I think training camp hurt him a little bit, not being able to participate in any preseason games, really showing what he can do against some other junior kids, American Hockey League. Now he's kind of jumping into things. Some teams have played 7, 8, 9, 10 games already, and Kirby Doc's facing pretty legit NHL talent. I guess it's going to be a day-to-day thing. I mean, Charlie probably has the inside scoop more than I would, but it's just going to be on how he handles himself in each game going forward. If he continues to improve, then yeah, keep him around. But if he struggles these next couple weeks, then it's not going to be the end of the world to go back to junior, be a stud, play in the World Junior Tournament, do all the fun stuff that you can do as the best player in the league and on your team. So I guess we'll see what happens next couple weeks.
It really does feel like the Hawks are taking this. They don't really have a plan. Like, they want him to dictate the plan, but at the same time, I got to be honest, Pat, I think they're stunting his growth by playing him 8 minutes a night here. Like, tonight, like, he's used to playing 20 minutes in all situations, whereas if he gets sent back to junior, like, if he's going to average 10, like, Kaner, when he was a rookie, averaged, what was it, like, 18 minutes of ice time?
Yeah, he was up there all the time.
Like, that's the part where you don't want to, like, have him on a leash when he's in the NHL. You want to let him go when he's here. So if, you know, I know there were 9 power plays combined by both teams, and they were protecting a 1-goal lead, but he scored a goal and he only played 8 minutes. Like, if that's going to be the case, I would just send him back to, and we've talked about this too. Like, I feel like he's no question one of the 12 best forwards, but how are you going to utilize him over the course of the 82 game season?
Okay, so I understand what you're saying, but isn't part of that because the top 6 overall is not performing at a high level?
But he's part of the top 6 right now.
I know, but the bottom 6 is taking minutes away. I mean, it's a byproduct of the bottom 6 kind of carrying the offensive load right now. And like you said, Doc is and all those guys. I mean, I was going to talk about it later in the podcast, but, you know, something needs to happen. DeBrincat, Tave, Shaw is not generating enough opportunities.
I don't know what else you do, though. Like, I mean, Jeremy is toyed around with multiple line combinations.
Well, we were talking about it. Now, we thought Brandon Saad had one of his best games. I don't think stat sheet comes anywhere near close to telling the story that Brandon had. And we know that he's had success with Johnny in the past. I saw something different from Brandon tonight that I didn't see at all last year.
I've seen it building this year, to be quite honest with you. But tonight, I agree with you, it was his best game. And going back to Kirby, it's like, well, what kind of player is he going to be long-term? Where does he fit in right now, these next couple weeks? That stuff will all figure itself out. But let's not forget that the Hawks want to win games. It's not about developing Kirby Doc at this point right now. They need to win games, keep pace in that Western Conference, because the playoffs is a huge goal of this team right now. So whatever it takes to get there, that's what it's going to do. I mean, look at the ice times of some of the guys today. Dylan Strome didn't see the ice very much. It was all about protecting that 1-goal lead, putting the guys out there that are going to do it. But now, going back to what they can do with the top 6, I like the wing play of Kubalik and Brandon Saad. I think if you stick Johnny in the middle with those two working like they do, getting pucks back in the offensive zone, being reliable, strong on the puck, and the finish that Kubalik, we know he's going to show eventually at some point. I mean, he already has that nose for the net. He's got a couple goals. Great shot. I wouldn't mind seeing that combination, but, like, I'm not the coach of the team. I'm not in that locker room. I'm not there every single day like Jeremy is. Remember, it's 82-game season. We'll see a ton of combinations, but something does seem off with the offense. But look, hey, what are we going to do? We can't have a perfect game every single night. There's going to be some off nights. I love the way that they played tonight.
And by the way, I'm not suggesting that they should send Kirby back because he played 8 minutes tonight. Like, I just don't think they should. Like, at some point, he should become a big part of a focal point of this offense and not be sheltered. Like, I think Patrick Kane really wants to develop chemistry with this kid. And if he's not going to play with DeBrincat, at least give him Kirby Doc for the year.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. Let's talk about Robin Leonard. I thought, you know, we've seen the goalies now stack, I think, at least four in a row where you're like, you know, we call them, quality starts in baseball. These are real quality starts from their netminder. And, he was a minute and a half away from pitching a shutout against one of the Western Conference elite.
Yeah, he was great. And that's what Stan Bowman and his staff had in mind when they signed him in the offseason. I remember what happened, the injury to Corey Crawford. My final year of playing 2 years ago kind of derailed our season. We got great efforts from Forsberg and Glass and everybody else in between. But when you lose that starting goaltender, in the short term, you can handle it. Over a 50-game segment of the season, you're not making the playoffs. So Stan Bowman went out. They solidified the goaltender position. Now they got the problem of two number ones. Well, it doesn't sound like there's any internal competition going on. I mean, yeah, clearly there's competition between Crow and Leonard, but they understand they're both going to see the net, and that's kind of stuff kind of sorts itself out as well. Whoever's playing well at the time is most likely going to see the net. As of right now, I would say it's Corey's net until – Robin Leonard does something to steal it from him, and hey, you can't really fault him on his start so far. He's looked pretty damn good in there, if you ask me.
Yeah, all three of his starts, he's gone overtime in all three of them. And this one, obviously, went into a shootout. He's been good. This is exactly what the Hawks wanted. Both goalies performing really well and making a decision tough on Jeremy Colleton and the coaching staff as to which goaltenders they should go with. So Robin was fantastic again.
And he was strong not only in the crease, but in the post-game scrum. Here's some of Robin Leonard's comments after the 2-1 loss to the Golden Knights via the shootout.
When I chose to sign with this team, it's because I really believe in this team. I have just a lot of great hockey players in this club, and we've seen it in spurts. In the beginning of the season, I think the last few games has been really, really good. Small details, and we're going to be very dangerous. And I'm really liking what I'm seeing from a lot of the guys. A lot of the young guys are playing great. The core of guys here, maybe it looks far away, but it's really close. It really is. And Washington is a good team. Vegas is a good team. And at times, we're totally dominating. It should have been 4-0 after two. A couple of posts were in the way, a couple of missed bounces, and that's hockey sometimes. If we just keep playing like we're doing, we're going to get good results and we're going to have a good season.
A similar feeling to what you had last year? It's kind of a similar feeling to
what you had last year. No, but I mean, there's a lot of new guys to this team. Some great core players, a lot of new guys. You know, they're still trying to implement the system that's getting better, and we're getting better and better at it. And again, I think we've seen it really well in spurts when we manage the puck and when we stick to our details. We're such an offensive, talented team. So if we just can keep going like this, we're gonna be successful. It really is. I, honestly, right now, I don't even care about the standings because we're gonna start getting wins. We've played some good teams, and I think we've dominated them at times. And are these small mistakes, and we just got to keep pushing the pace. Like the third today, we just got to keep pushing. We got to keep pushing. We got to keep attacking. So, again, they were in our zone quite a bit in the third, and unfortunately, they tied it up, and that's what it is.
The next two games become a little more important to get some points and momentum before you go out on the road?
I mean, you always want to get points. That's the main thing of the game, but at some point we got to also look at the process a little bit here. Again, a lot of new guys. I think we're playing really well at times, and again, if we keep playing this way, we're going to get rewarded. This game could have easily been 4-0 after two. It's just how it is. Fleury made some really incredible saves. We hit a bunch of posts. Kane hit the bar. Sad hit the post. You know, there were a couple of bounces, a couple of open nets, you know. Sometimes it's just the way it is, but we got to keep sticking to this process and be positive about it. And I think we're doing a good job with that. And I think we're showing resiliency. And but everyone's got to get better. We're not happy with this. I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with a lot of things. My game is good. There are things that I got to clean up. Every single player on this team has that same thing. So we all got to get a little bit better. But keep taking the positives, because there's a lot of positives. It really is. So that's where I think we're at.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
I thought he was real complimentary of the play in front of him. You know, he kind of is a very cerebral guy. He's going to tell you exactly how he feels. So the way this thing plays out, do you see them that Jeremy just volleys back and forth where they're in this every other game? Now, obviously, this weekend they got a back-to-back. That makes sense. You know, you'd always split up the two goalies. But do you see against Philadelphia, we go back to Crow on Thursday, and it just kind of goes from there?
I think they go back to Leonard on Thursday against Philly. And
really?
Then they'll go to Crawford in Carolina. Yeah, I just – like, Robin has a – he has, like, a 940 save percentage in three starts. Like, you gave Crawford the season opener and the home opener also. I think Leonard deserves a consecutive start. And then you go back to Crawford. I don't think it's anything against Crawford. Like, he played well against Washington. It's just – I think at some point you do – Here's the thing that they've made it clear that they want both goalies fresh. So they're going to alternate. I don't think they're going to be like, oh, Robin played well, we're going to go back to Robin. And like, I think they're like, okay, we might have a 3-day layoff here, so we got to get Corey the crease or Robin the crease, so then they're not going a week without action.
Yeah.
So I think that's really what's going on here. And then maybe you get later into the season where performance has to start dictating the starts, when the standings become more important and you're actually waking up and looking, okay, Colorado won or Dallas is on the rise or whoever. So I think that's where we're at right now.
I agree 100% on what you just said. You don't want one guy sitting too long. You want to keep guys feeling that rhythm, so to speak. And I thought maybe Crow would play next game, but the way you just put it, man, you changed my mind. I think Leonard wow. might get the consecutive start. I think he earned that. I think he gets rewarded with another start at home. And look, there's a ton of games coming up, so you want both these guys playing well, giving you a chance to win every game. Because when you look at the standings, I know it's early, but teams are going to win every night in the league. There's no easy nights anymore, so good job by Stan bringing in those goalies.
I thought it's been a very professional, respectful relationship between Robin and Corey, but underlying, you know, I both guys want the crease more than the other. Did you get a sense in today's post-game interview that he was kind of tipping his cap that, you know, he wants to grab the net for a little bit?
I didn't get the impression. I got the impression that, like, he even said in his post-game comments that he's like, I feel like I'm a good goalie, but Corey's a hell of a goalie. You know, like, he's got two rings.
Okay.
So he's being respectful. And I got to be honest, observing it in the locker room, observing the relationship, it is very professional, like, in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are, like, Corey Crawford will make a save in practice, and Robin Leonard's screaming from the other side, like, I gotta go, Crow. Like, he's very supportive, and he doesn't look at this like, oh, I want to go for Corey's job. Like, he truly came to Chicago because he does want to win, and I think that's his main goal.
And we've seen the two goaltender rotation pay off for teams not only across the league, but in the Central Division. Nashville with Saros and Pekka. Seems like they're having strong goaltending every night. And Dallas went deep into the playoffs, got into the playoffs last year with Khudobin being such a valuable backup for them. So I think Leonard pushes Crow and Crow pushes Leonard. That's a great thing to have, and we're going to start seeing it more and more across the league.
All right, I'm going to wrap things up with a final thought. The one thing you'd like to see this team kind of figure out here in the next handful of days, I'll start off while you guys think of yours. I really have loved the play of the bottom six. The Sodkamp Kubalik line has been the most consistent. The Carpenter Nylander Cajulo line has been really productive the last couple of games. But the top six is not putting up the possession numbers or the offensive numbers that you would expect it to. So I feel like something needs to happen. You need to maybe inject somebody from the bottom six up there. And, you know, you kind of mentioned Kubalik and Saad. I wouldn't mind seeing those guys, at least one of them, get the opportunity to kind of restack the deck in the top six and hopefully get more production from those first two lines.
Yeah, I think that's a safe assumption that we all agree the top six could be sorted out a little bit different. I think the coaching staff will be real pleased with how the team played today, so I don't anticipate too many changes across the board, but man, it's tough to put your finger on something. Maybe that power play, I mean, we saw it when Jeremy took over. They just were ticking the puck around, making it sing out there and scoring. You know, man, the percentages were ridiculous for a while there. We haven't seen, you know, that same kind of flow to start the season here, and I get it. I used to play the power play every once in a while. When you do start scoring on it, you just start to roll. So I'm being picky. I'm kind of beating up the power play. I agree with you, though, Pat. That top six needs to get sorted out.
I think it's just consistency on the special teams for me. Like the Washington game, they go for five on the power play and give up that shorthanded goal, and you know they probably go one for five, and they probably don't give up that shorthanded goal if DeBrincat's stick doesn't break on that shot. And then tonight, I thought they had one really good power play. The second unit had a really good power play, and then there was one where it was just like, that was so forgettable, throw that in the trash. Like, they're not even, it's not like building momentum. It's like they build momentum, and then the next one is, you know, is just a momentum killer. So I think just consistency, don't let it spill over to your 5-on-5 game, and I think they'll be okay.
But I will say, we can talk about the top six, the power play, penalty kill, anything you want, but if they compete on an individual level like they did tonight, that's going to be huge for the Hawks going forward.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I mean, the what they did along the walls today against a really good team in that area, they were much harder on the puck. It was impressive. So
I for five of the six periods against Washington and Vegas, two of the best teams in the NHL, the Hawks outplayed them.
Yeah.
It was the third period tonight that derailed them.
So that's a wrap on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. Patrick Sharp, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Who are you talking to?
Patrick Sharp's lookalike, Charlie Romaliotis. Hey, check your wallet. That'll put you in check to make sure
will.
Who you are.
I don't have any rings on my fingers either.
Thanks. Everything all right with the wrist?
You good? I'm good.
Yeah, so, what happened with the thumb?
Carpal tunnel, a lot of writing.
So that, you're the second person to say that to me. I'm 27 years old. I don't have carpal tunnel yet.
Well, I thought you, because you're such a hard worker at the laptop.
Well, what else could it be?
Oh, I don't know.
Too many wrist curls at the gym.
All right. We'll leave it at that. For the Blackhawks Talk podcast, I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll catch you next time.